Somebody sail in a new religion. Somebody sailing a lie. Somebody wants all this strife and division. It's driving us out of our minds. They're telling the world not to trust their own eyes. They're telling the people they're wrong. They're keeping the truth for their power and gain. Taking whatever we've got.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. Hello. Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Brad, you say Schistmas. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
This five times August, as people know you, I had to look up your name this weekend. I didn't even know who you were. I just love August and five and times. Like, why five times August?
So the name came about from my birthday. I started Five Times August when I was 18, right out of high school. And I was recording a lot of music at home and knew I was going to put it out. I just didn't know if I would put it out as Brad Schistmas or something else. And I just thought, well, I should come up with a cool band name because I don't think people will remember bradschistmas.com or something. And so I just came up with the band name based on my birthday and thought Five Times August sounds cool. And it's kind of stuck around ever since.
Yeah, that's amazing. It doesn't really make sense, but it sounds good, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So today is October 23rd, 2023. 23-23, hadn't noticed that. Dallas, Texas, that's right?
That's right, yeah.
Yes. And I am Lynn Thompson, host of Living on Purpose and here in Ontario, Canada. Yeah, I mean, I've been listening to your music. It just keeps coming to me over the last two, three years, I guess. You've been doing these songs. And it just came around again to me somehow this weekend. And that's why I reached out to you to see if you might join me on the podcast. So I'm so glad that you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for reaching out.
Yeah, for sure. Now, because of your focus on what is going on in the world, and you've been paying a lot of attention to Canada, and apparently you have fans in Canada.
Yeah, I was really in the middle of all this. The Canadian protest happened, and I was just really admiring that protest overall and watching it happen in real time as people were sharing their videos on Twitter and stuff. And so I ended up writing a song called This Just In that was calling out Justin Trudeau and him sort of running away from the whole thing. And I just felt like somebody needed to call him out because it's such a pathetic thing to do. It's just also just sort of a way to show my support for Canada. And yeah, in the meantime, I've been made an honorary Canadian citizen by some fans out there. So hopefully at some point I can get up there and perform.
Have you ever been to Canada?
I peeked into Canada a long time ago. I drove through the border for something. I can't even remember. I think it might have been a conference many years ago. And then I was there for a day and came back. But that's the extent of my... Wow. Escapades up there.
Wow, barely inaugurated. Yeah. Well, that's a good reason to come in. And how did you find out about the Druthers newspaper?
Just from seeking out other sources, I think, or seeing it pass through, you know, different shares from stories and stuff. But I've seen the name plenty of times and glad you guys are out there. It's incredible to see that you guys are so well received and growing. So.
Yeah, it's amazing. I first became aware of the newspaper earlier last year, I guess. Heard about it through a friend of a friend. And then suddenly there was a copy of the newspaper in my building. And I was like, well, where did that come from? You know, and gradually became aware of people involved with the newspaper. And then just recently met the team. And now I'm in. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's very intriguing. And like one of the women said, I wanted more friends, and now I've got hundreds of friends.
Yeah, that's one of the beautiful things that has come out of, the last couple of years. It's the great silver lining is the communities that have developed throughout all this, and things that didn't exist now exist. It's the light, that I keep working toward is this other side that's waiting for us. That is a good thing.
Yeah, I totally agree, Brad. And we definitely want to talk about some of your songs in particular that you've done in your album, which it released like just about a year ago, I guess, eh?
Yeah, almost a year ago, Silent War. Yeah, it came out right at the beginning of November
Oh, yeah,
of last
November 1st.
year.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I've listened to a few of your interviews over the last
Okay.
day.
Oh,
So I
great.
was Tim Cast.
Oh, TimCast. Yeah. I actually had the album scheduled for November 4th, which was that Friday. And they invited me on that show, which was the first. And he has such a big fan base. I was like, well, I'm going to bump up the release date. So it's ready to go when I'm on the show. So it worked out. And that was really great. So it's tremendous watching the support of the album and just watching people connect and resonate with those songs over the last couple of years.
I listened to you talking with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I really enjoyed you guys talk. Well, I enjoyed a lot of what I heard over this last couple of days, but yeah, that was really great. I think what you were saying there with him was how, like, the album has really, it's like it's just come out one song at a time, like a real time album. You know, because normally in an album you're playing a bunch of songs and they think, oh yeah, I'll put the greatest hits together or whatever. Tell us a bit about how that's been for you.
So I started releasing these songs at the beginning of January 2021 was when I released God Help Us All. And that was sort of the first in this series of what you would call protest songs. And I didn't consider myself a protest artist by any means. And in fact, I thought that that song would be sort of my one song on the entire matter. So I didn't really think like, this is what I'm doing now. But it resonated so well with people that I felt I should keep going and using my platform in this way. And it was therapeutic for me because it let me know I wasn't alone. Yeah, those songs came one at a time because I released God Help Us All. And then months went by before I released Jesus, What Happened to Us? That was January to like April of that year.
They want you weak, don't speak, don't question, don't think. Keep staring at your smartphone, get dumber every week. Now give up your freedom and shush. Oh Jesus, what happened to us?
I didn't rush any of it. I just let each song come to me and waited for these sort of songs to be delivered through me, I feel. Once they did come to me, the process sort of happened over a couple of weeks where I would write it and I would record it. And most of the songs were recorded live in my bedroom, just with, a couple of mics, and I performed them. I wanted to do something that was very real and capture a moment of a performance, which was very like a traditional way of doing things. You used to go into a recording studio back in the day and play with a band and get the take. And so that was my approach to most of it, but I felt like that was a very honest way of doing things. I wanted to give people something unpolished. I'd do that, record it, and then I would make a video for it, however long that took. Sometimes you maybe get one done in a week or a couple weeks, but the videos were also an extension of what I wanted to say. And so I started creating these videos for each song as well. So it's not just the audio, there's actually like a whole video album to go along with it, really.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, those videos are so intense. You have to slow them down or keep stopping and going back. I mean, there's so much detail in that. Now, there's the songwriting process for sure, but how are you making those videos? Is it Oracle Films? Is that who's working with you?
Yeah, I've partnered with Oracle Films on a few of the videos, mainly just to pull from their footage from rallies that had happened that they filmed. We worked together on the I Will Not Be Leaving Quietly video and the Fight For You video. The other videos that are more animated, like Sad Little Man and This Just In and Gates Behind the Bars, I mean, all the videos are done and edited by myself, and the art direction is myself as well. So outside of that collaboration with Oracle, all of those videos were put together myself.
Well, that is very impressive, Brad. I
Thank
mean,
you.
really.
Well, I get really honed in on a frame by frame basis, which allows me to get really nerdy and put details in there that no one's going to see the first time around. And I like that because it gives you a reason to go back and watch and get still frames out of it and stuff.
Yeah, like I watched Joe. I mean, that's incredible. You're singing right with the words that he is saying. The detail of that is incredible.
Oh, thank you. I don't really have a plan when I start those videos. I just sort of start, like if it's a graphic video, I'll just sort of start making something in Photoshop and see where it goes and have a loose idea, but they sort of come together like a painting where you start brushing, right? And then the picture eventually comes together in the end. I definitely enjoy, putting those details in there like that. I don't think that I could hire people to execute them in that way because there's just too much involvement in it where I'm sitting so close to I'm just like doing all this stuff. But I'm glad people pick up on it. Like that's the great reward is like, oh, did you see this? Oh, I have to watch that again. It's rewarding in that way. The work pays off.
Yeah, that's fabulous. When you say about like a painting, it just brought to mind that there's that one video where the guy is painting while you're singing the song. It's the preview of a documentary.
Oh, yeah. Bob Moran. He's an illustrator in the United Kingdom. He put out a lot of really great illustrations. He was fired from his newspaper job during that time and began speaking out through his own art. And that was another collaboration that him and I had a song called Fight for You, and I asked him to illustrate the single artwork for it. And he agreed to do that.
Through the madness and the lies, as they're holding back the truth, no matter what they try, I will always fight for you. I will save your innocence, they are trying to remove. I am here at your defense, and I will always fight for you.
Then later, he was doing a documentary about his art and asked if he could use some of my music for his documentary. So I was like, sure, of course. So yeah, he's done some great work. And that's one of the great things about the artistic community on this side of things is that we're all getting to know each other and collaborate. And it's not a financial thing. It's just we're all working towards a similar message and goal for the world and our kids. And it's an honest collaboration. It's nice.
So what is that message, Brad? How would you articulate that message?
That this is worth fighting for. I think the message is that you're going to have to be willing to risk everything you've got, or else there won't be anything to risk in the future. And this is our kids' lives we're talking about, not just ours, but it dawned on me early in speaking out that this battle is for the rest of our lives. The mess that's been created over only a 3-year cycle has been detrimental, and we'll be cleaning it up for generations. So you have to risk everything, and you have to be willing to say no, the next time it comes around. Had we all done that the first time around, we wouldn't be this deep into things now. I fully believe that. But, the optimistic side of me says that it's all going to be worth it, and I retain that, that underneath all of this darkness is the best time to be alive. We just have to fight for it. There's a beautiful world out there. It's just that a handful of goons behind the scenes are ruining it for the rest of us. So, but there are more of us than them.
Yes, I will always fight for you. I will stand here in the way, and I will not give up on you. I will shield you from the pain. In the battle on the field, there is evil on the move. But I hope that you can feel that I will always fight for you. In the darkness of the times, there's a light that shines the proof. It'll soon reveal the crime, so I won't stop this fight for you. Yes, I will always fight for you. I will brave every attack, and I will not give up on you. I will always have your back.
When did it seem to you that the direction of your music was changing? Because you've been a musician for 20 years, I think you mentioned. So do you remember that moment where you realized you were shifting? I mean, with that first song and just in general, like how did that feel for you and your family?
Yeah, it was interesting because I always tried to be a people pleaser. I always stayed right in the middle of things and never tried to ruffle anyone's feathers. So it was different for me to put out a song knowing I was going to upset people, especially people that had been following me for years. But I just changed as a person throughout 2020. My perspective on humanity in general was spun on its head and turned upside down because I assumed there was like this baseline understanding that people had on not trusting the government and you don't believe in politicians or what you see on TV and the news and there's propaganda out there. And so many people that I thought would know better didn't know better. And so piece by piece, like my world was kind of crumbling. And I started the pandemic, I should say, doing parody songs during the 2 weeks to slow the spread. And they were kind of just goofball little songs that I was just doing just to entertain people because everybody's sitting around. But after 12 of those, it felt very boring and not funny anymore. And I had also released a song called We Are In This Together at that time, which because that was my big, hey, we're all in this together song because everybody was saying it. And releasing that song actually was probably the most pivotal moment of the whole thing because I was trying to keep that ideal, that naive outlook on life alive. And very soon after that, George Floyd happened and COVID propaganda thickened up and the world was falling apart even more that I realized we're not in this together at all. And so it shut me down for months until I released God Help Us All. And that first group of songs, God Help Us All, Jesus, What Happened to Us, Out of Your Damn Mind, and then the fourth one was I Will Not Be Leaving Quietly, which was really my commitment to the whole thing. It was me saying, you know what, I'm going to keep being loud and I'm not going to stop talking because we're in some trouble. And so it was one thing after another, but I think that the end of my previous era and my previous mindset sort of capped off with We Are In This Together, this song. And then I had that lull of no output. And then started up fresh over here on this other side. And that's when everything changed, I think.
And how has it been for your family? You're married, you have three children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have three children who are 6, 9, and 11. You know, I'm very blessed in that my family is supportive in what I do and what I say. My wife and I have been part of the medical freedom movement since long before COVID, because our oldest was vaccine injured when he was a baby. So we had gone down those rabbit holes before, you know, any of this had taken place. But I'm very grateful that, you know, I didn't have any major rifts in the family as far as me speaking out. I do have an older brother who disagrees with what I say. The most interesting part was my kids and me making this shift, because prior to the COVID era, I was making children's music. I was making family-based, character-building themed music about kindness and thankful. I was doing a project called The Juice Box Jukebox, and it was a complete 180 from being an angry protest artist, or however you want to classify me, to the most pure stuff I could put into the world. And my kids were helping make that music. They were involved in it. And that's what I was doing. And all of a sudden, I wasn't doing it anymore. And I was making this new group of songs that I didn't really want them to listen to because we were trying to sort of keep the COVID world out of their ether as much as we could. I didn't want them thinking about it. They're just children. And it's a shame that we're now, 4 years almost deep into this thing. And it's been such a huge part of our kids' lives, right? It's been half their life has been the COVID world. So I was trying to sort of keep that out of their mind. And but little by little, the world crept in and going to a park and it being closed. And then, questions kept happening. And then I was doing bigger events. And so by the time I ended up performing at Defeat the Mandates rally in January of 2022 in Washington, D.C., they watched that online, my kids did, and they knew something bigger was happening with Daddy's music. And so we had to sort of explain a little bit more of what was happening into the world and why Daddy was singing these songs.
So to every single mother, father, stand up for your sons and daughters. Do not back down, don't let up. You are all they have for armor, so make this a war to win. Look in their eyes and tell them that I will always fight for you. I will stand guard at the gate. I will not give up on you. I will stop each shot they take. I will always fight for you. I will always fight for you.
That's amazing. I watched your interview with The Highwire with Del Bigtree and Ernest Ramirez, and he had lost his son just after he was injected. And you've been quite involved with the vaccine injured beyond your own family then. How has that been evolving? How is it evolving?
Yeah, it's been interesting because actually, I didn't meet Ernest till way later, but he was at the very first rally that I performed at, and he was the first vaccine injury story that I had heard. And when you hear those stories for the first time, they're gut punching, especially when it's a parent that's lost a child. Ernest is a true warrior. He has not stopped his fight since then. And most of the parents I know that have lost a child are not giving up as hard as it may be. But yeah, over the last couple of years, being at events and meeting the injured, hearing their stories, getting to know them, they've become friends and supporters, and I've done what I can do to help them. We did a campaign earlier this year to raise money for them through my album sales. And it's crazy because I ended up writing a check to React 19, the organization here, and it was more than the government has paid out to them here, I found out, which it's great that the campaign was successful. It's very sad that the government has paid out so little. These are people that are really on their own, people that thought they were doing what was right, that listened and are now left alone. So they're all have their own struggles. And I think that these are the stories that need to be at the forefront of the entire conversation because these are the stories that change people's minds. That when you get on that personal level and hear what they've struggled with and seen who has passed away and all these terrible things, that's why they're so suppressed and censored. And that's why they're left behind because they don't want you to know. So I've made it a lot of my mission to bring those stories forward and to help them be recognized and to give them, through my platform, another avenue to share their stories.
Yeah, well, it's fantastic. It's hard to believe when you just see the next ad coming on, get your booster, get your shot. Like, how on earth? It's like this weird double world of overlaid, right?
To pretend that it hasn't, nothing has happened. To pretend as if every single person that got that shot is okay. It's evil. And that's what we're up against.
Yeah, it's really mind-bending. And when the people who've gotten the shots and thinking that complying is the right way to go and the safe way to go, then something happens and they think, well, it would have been worse if I hadn't. Like, I mean, they have to justify it, you know? And I still love all the people who don't support me anymore. I still care for these family members and friends, but I know that they're mystified by my choices. And somebody asked me early on, like, well, if somebody is open, what do I say first? What's a 5 minute or even a 2 minute intro pack for someone who's just thinking, okay, maybe something is wrong. Maybe, like that expression goes, you can't comply your way out of tyranny. Like, maybe there is actually something going on. I can see why some people would think nothing's going on. I mean, at the face of it, it's like, okay, well, life's continuing, But these people who are being ignored and kept out of sight, I mean, their lives are continuing every day in a very different way. And when I started hearing stories of the young doctors who've complied and died, and all these athletes dropping off the field, and everybody just sort of, oh, well, I guess something happened. I guess it was their time. Like, every time I hear a story, it's like I have to close my heart a little bit, Like, it's like it becomes sort of like, oh, well, But then you come back, well, what's the value of life? And why are we undervaluing each life?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible that it has reached a point where, these people are falling over on TV in front of your face. It's like they're just unwilling to connect those dots because the weight of it all. I've said this often, but, these people that are unwilling to acknowledge what's happened, the worst of them came out. They called their friends and their family murderers. They disowned them. They enabled a segregated society. They insisted what they were doing was right and there was no wrong in their world. And so there's just a lot of weight there to have to reconcile with that. Oh my God, what have I done? And it's easier for one of those people to just shut off their emotions and just go, I don't know, that's crazy, and move on. Just look that way. So, as a parent who has had a child who has been injured by their early childhood shots, I understand the weight that comes when you're a parent and you are going along with what the doctors say, and then your child is injured. There's a lot of guilt that comes with that. And I expect a tsunami wave of guilt in our future of parents that have done this to their children.
How did you make the connection that your son was injured from the shots?
He was crying uncontrollably, and we ended up taking him to the NICU. Now, they never told us that he was injured. And we started going down that rabbit hole, and we had to go through several doctors until he finally said, well, that's from his, early childhood shots. So, and he still gets these migraines in his eye that sort of wipe him out. But yeah, so there's a lot that comes with that. And there are a lot of parents still out there. We find ourselves so deep down these rabbit holes. We're so deep into this battle in this war that it's hard to remember. A lot of people are just not even on the circumference of that hole. They're way out west and just trying to get along with their life. The pattern of the structure of our daily life is go to work, get the kids to school, make sure there's food on the table and pay the bills. And that's a lot for people. That's why when they get home, they don't want to think that's enough to weigh somebody down. But I think innately humanity as a whole knows something is wrong. No matter how they acted 3 years ago or are still acting today, I think, whether they want to admit it or not, they know something is off about what's happening in the world.
Yeah, I heard this great little story of an exchange with a friend of mine with his neighbor when all this was starting, when the shots became an option. If you qualified by your age group, making it something to desire. And his neighbor said to him, "Well, I'm getting the shot for me and for my grandparents and for the community." And my friend said to him, "Well, I'm not getting the shot for you and the community so that your kids will have a choice." And I thought, I really like that.
Yeah, that's the big trick of it, is that they made everybody seem like they could be a hero. And people really jumped at that idea that if I take part and do this, I'm helping out. But they had no idea what they were giving up. That's sort of the pattern, I think, with these agendas, is to trick you into giving up your freedom incrementally. You know, you give them an inch and then they take 100 miles. So we have to be hopefully strong enough the next time it comes around, which I suspect will be soon, that we can now band together, because there is a community in place that wasn't there the first time around. And hopefully more people, when they introduce the same tactics in a different way, people can recognize that and go, okay, maybe I fell for it the first time, but this is ridiculous. You know, how many times, you know, fool me once, right? How many times can you be duped? So I don't know. Time will tell. Like I said earlier, I remain optimistic and we get there eventually.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you keep your eye on the prize. Yeah, like you said, the setup of the hero and there's the villain is actually reversed, right?
Yeah,
Like,
right.
I think being on the right side of history and seeing it for what it is, not what they want you to see it as. And
Yeah, the entire reality has been flipped on its head. Wrong is now right, and right is now wrong. And that's the battle. You know, at the end of the day, we're all arguing over what kind of world do we want to live in. And when you get down to basic questions, you know, what kind of world do you want to live in? Do you want to live in a world where everybody wears a mask on their face? Does that seem right? Does that seem like that's the way we were designed, that God just forgot to give us masks or something? You know, does it make sense that, oh, we made it to the year 2020 and God forgot that we're supposed to get injections every single day, you know, before we go out into the world? When you get to basic questions, you know, none of it makes sense. So we just have to, you know, piece by piece examine. I think what we're coming out of is the reality that the world that we were living in was an illusion. And now we're in this weird time, which I call, I kind of compare it to going through puberty, is where it's awkward and weird, it's ugly, but on the other side of it, you become mature and you end up knowing yourself a little better and you stand up straighter and more confident. But we're in this really weird moment where our voice is squeaking and it's not pretty.
your song Ain't No Rock and Roll, you really think that the protest songs of the 60s like weren't legit? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, yeah. So I grew up listening to that music. I love music. That's my entire life, is if I'm not writing it, I'm buying it. You know, I'm at the record store. That's all I've ever done with my leisurely time, is I go to record stores and seek out more music. And so this song to me is me coming to terms with my heroes not being heroes after all. And maybe they were legit back then. It's hard to say now, because the time to speak up for real against the man was now. And very few of them did. So we had Eric Clapton and Van Morrison from that generation actually say something. But two guys out of the entire generation is pretty pathetic numbers. I applaud them for doing so. But I think that we have to go back now and sort of reevaluate a lot of our attention to pop culture and media and say, well, was it true? You know, even for like my generation, we had the grunge era with Nirvana and Pearl Jam, and those guys just the same joined the regime. You know, that's been the entire joke the last year, has been Rage Against the Machine is raging for the machine now. So all these anti-establishment moments over the last 60 to 70 years through rock and roll, I think should be scrutinized a little bit. And we should ask, you know, where were you on this one? That's kind of all the song's saying, is why didn't you show up? You know, why are you doing a Pfizer commercial right now, you know? And knowing how the media works now too, you have to sort of start to think, were all those Vietnam protest songs that did come out, was there an agenda? Was it honest? Were there useful, what they call useful idiots that were writing the songs earnestly, but they were going along with an agenda unknowingly to help with that message? So it's hard to say, but what I'm speaking of now in that song is right now. You know, where's all the anti-establishment? It's another thing that's gone in full reverse. You know, it's the right wing-ish, you know, anybody outside of the extreme left, I should say, is now anti-establishment, where a liberal from the 1960s is not the liberal of today. And we're finding that a lot of them are pro-war and pro-government, more government. And I don't know. I'm rambling, but
Oh, that's okay. There's this badge of honor these days of being censored and getting pushback. So you've called out a lot of people in that particular song. Have you had any pushback from any of them, or are they really that quiet?
they're really that quiet. I mean, in the last year, I do that a lot on Twitter, is I'll tweet at somebody that's made a Pfizer commercial, like Pink, or you know, somebody that said something awful, like Gene Simmons called us the enemy. If you don't get the vaccine, you're the enemy of the people. Gene Simmons, Mr. Rock and Roll himself. And when you ask them, you know, do you stand by this still? They won't respond to you. They're sooner block you, which is what happens to me, is they block you online. I've only had one person actually respond, which is Peter Frampton, and I had asked him if he still stood by his statements, and he's unfortunately said, yes, I do. So that was a letdown, but I appreciate the fact that at least he responded and did not block me. But you know, that's also one of the intents of the song itself, is to sort of poke at them and hope that they do respond, because I want this song to bring this conversation forward, to have somebody acknowledge it. Because what is happening now is people are getting away from what just happened 3 years ago, and they're trying to move on and detach themselves. And humanity has to have a conversation about what just happened, you know, to sit down with what just happened, say, hey, let's talk about this, because, you know, some pretty ugly stuff just happened, and they're trying to run away from it. So hopefully somebody does speak up and say, you know, hey, why'd you put me in this song? And then you can say, well, why do you think?
Yeah, you're right, Brad. It's like more challenging conversations that we've had to face ever. It's like you're watching a movie, that they set us up with. So many movies that they said, oh, it's just like a movie. The kind of movie where you see people in different roles and you think, hey, wait a minute, weren't you in that role before? And now you're in this role. And it's like, well, what does that mean for our relationship? And what does that mean for the relate if you're just watching it as a movie separate from your life, like what does that mean for the relationship with those people in that film? And how do you even start to have a conversation when it feels like all this stuff has been going on in the background all our lives? Like this is nothing new. It's popped to the surface, and yet it's like these parallel tracks. It's still really challenging to have that conversation because it's like, okay, so I've got this muzzle on my face, but nobody can actually see me to know I'm doing the right thing, but I'm doing the right thing. Like that kind of a feeling that I'm assuming people have, that they're, okay, well, at least I'm doing the right thing. Even if all this is crazy, this is what they told me to do. So they must know that that's the best thing to do. And so how do you even start talking? How do you have the conversation?
I don't know, because I haven't had that conversation yet. I think that there's layers to it. I think, you know, there's the personal relationships that have happened, and that's going to be on a one-on-one thing. I think for anybody that closed that door on you, the only thing you can do is wait for them to come back and, you know, say something. I had, you know, a friend that, you know, the last thing they said to me was, you know, I can't talk to you. I'm going to unfriend you on Facebook. You're dangerous and spreading misinformation. And that was the last thing they said until about last Thanksgiving. They sent me a message just to say, hey, I hope your family's doing well. For me, that's them sort of saying, hey, sorry, but I'm not going to say I'm sorry. But then there's the layer of it that is the mainstream media and the public figures that enabled it all. People that should have used their positions more wisely and that really enabled and hypnotized people who really need to be held accountable. It's those people in the public square that need to stand trial, that need to be held responsible for their actions. And instead, you know, if you like look at a guy like Piers Morgan, who said the most awful things about anybody who wasn't complying, and then one day gets on his show and starts walking back on his words a little bit. He needs to be held accountable. And he's another guy that blocked me, that when I said, hey, okay, that's great. So you're not down with masks anymore. And you're second guessing the vaccine. Well, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to rectify the situation? Because there's a lot of people whose lives are damaged because of what you've done. And again, you know, rather than respond, he'll just block. So to me, you leave him behind. He doesn't get to come into the new era with us. So that's what I think needs to happen, is we need to hold these people accountable and say, well, what are you going to do about it? If you truly are sorry, where's the action you're going to take to make sure this never happens again? I was having a conversation with Brett Weinstein the other day on his show about maybe we don't even need the apology. We just need the reassurance that it's never going to happen again. You know, I agree with him. You know, you need to say, look, I don't know what I was thinking. But yeah, I'm never going to let this happen again. So we'll see.
I would accept that because otherwise it's going to just get crazier. And I think you're right, Brad, is that so much has happened in this last 3 years that there's a lot more people feeling like, okay, we're not in the minority. And this is actually not right, what you're asking us to do. And it's actually dangerous for the children and the future of the planet and the population and anyone hoping to have children in the future. You know, with all the craziness going on, with the schools woven through it.
Leave the church, kill your faith, judge the skin and learn to hate. Make yourself the enemy and call yourself a saint. Learn the rules, be a fool. Remove your kid from school and apologize for everything. Apologize for you. Now give the TV all of your trust. Oh, Jesus, what happened to us? Mark, Jack, Bill, Joe, they'll tell you what you need to know. They'll give you your permissions and tell you where to go. Lights, camera, action, edit. We're so pathetic. You believe it because you watched it. You believe it because they said it. Now everybody stay home and rust. Oh, Jesus, what happened to us?
You're in the States, I'm in Canada. What do you think is a solution that would cover off both countries if we can continue to exist?
Well, I think, like I said, there's communities now, and I've had the chance to leave the States a few times this last year. I went to Austria last December and went to the UK this year in August and was doing some freedom-focused events there. The Jam for Freedom in the UK was 3 days of music, of freedom-minded musicians and speakers. And that's 3 days full of people who were there for you the last couple of years. So, and the same thing with Austria is to go from Dallas, Texas to Austria and meet these people that you're so distant from each other, but you experience the same thing and you speak to each other like you've known each other for years. You found a new community. And that's basically what I'm getting at is there are now pockets of communities worldwide. And as long as people understand the way they're feeling, I think more people need to know they're not alone, that are on the outside of these communities who are wondering what's wrong with the world. They need to know these communities exist, and these communities need to be strengthening and giving encouragement to others to join up. Because that's a scary thing, I think, is when you first start speaking out, and I've had this conversation with all the musicians, because we knew when we started saying what we were saying through our music, we were going to lose friends. And it feels really lonely, and it's kind of scary because you're like, oh geez, I've just lost I've burned every bridge, right? But then you like, I have such better friendships now, and I take such confidence in that, and knowing that there's a community in place to support me in any situation now, and it's a worldwide community, and it's a beautiful thing. And that to me is the solution, is that we continue to get stronger. You know, there's a lot of talk in the States here about who we're going to vote for in the next election. And I'm sitting here going, it's not going to be a top down, somebody comes in and saves the day. It's communities and reconnecting with your neighbors and informing them and sharing information and letting them see your life and how it's shaping out to be and how you're okay. And that's how it grows, is inside your home, to your neighbors, to your neighborhood, into your town, and then your city. And as those cities connect, we have a whole new world in front of us that is, to me, a great place to be.
Yeah, well, those are all very hopeful things in response to the question. Thank you, Brad. I think that there is a lot of exciting stuff going on with people taking responsibility at the local level and going to their local councils and speaking up and calling them to task on not being bought out by the UN and, you know, being accountable to their communities in a way that's realistic, not over the top. It's been a really beautiful thing over this last few years, just how it's inspired so much discernment and commitment to the kind of life we really want to be living and not just being pushed along or dragged along through somebody else's agenda. So it is a very exciting time. It's mind-blowing. Really, my life, I believe, has changed for the better. So many things have happened, and so many new people. A lot of people have faded out of my life, and I've had to let them go. We just have really taken different routes. I love how you said you haven't sacrificed one hug. I love that.
That's true. And I love that myself, because I get to look back on the last 3 years and know every time I was with my family, not a moment was sacrificed. And that's a shame for some people who really bought into it and are still living that life. And those are the things that I wish that they recognized, is that they insisted that I was going to die on a ventilator 100 times over, right? And that I was killing everybody that I was touching. Like, these were serious accusations when the reality was I just actually lived my life perfectly fine. And you went insane, and you still don't recognize that everybody that you thought was going to be dead is hanging around, you know, doing just okay. And you've gotten COVID for the fifth time, whatever, you know, you're still testing every day. Now they're testing every day, waiting for that too. You know, they're waiting to test positive.
Well, it's like, oh my goodness, only a few times, and now you're right, it is almost 4 years. Only a few times have I looked to sort of see what they bought into. Like, okay, you do this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this. And I just think, you would lose your mind if you seriously thought that was true. And that's what you were supposed to do, and your friends were too, or you'd lose your friends. But then, if you don't keep up to date, you know, you're just that other status. So, what a tension to be living in. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Well, see, I think like that's something that gives me confidence, is that what I thought to be true and from the beginning, I have not had to budge on. And most of us haven't. We just stood firm and the world changed around us. Those people had to continuously evolve, quote, with the science, right? One shot came, two came, three indefinitely. One mass became two. Every inch became a mile. And they had to continuously change their minds based on what the TV told them. And that, to me, I think, is why their brain is like spaghetti noodles now. But then on top of that, I think that's why we're so inundated with distractions now, because we went straight from all of that insanity into, every week it's something new now. It's worldwide chaos. Because if we actually stopped and asked what happened the last three, if you had time to think about it, it would reveal itself. You know, I think that's why so many of us are awake to it, is that we were constantly asking ourselves, questioning this, the moment. Why is this happening? Is this real? Why would they put that restriction in place? Whatever it was, questioning the narrative has kept us firm in our beliefs and not questioning anything and going along with it, as ironically made them have to continuously cycle through a whole new set of things.
We used to stand and fight. We had a voice, all right. We had a life worth living. We had a damn worth giving. Never watching it fall. That's the truth of it all.
I appreciate having this opportunity to muse on it all with you, Brad.
Oh,
And thank
sure.
you. Yeah, thank you so much for your music and the way you've intuitively followed one song after another coming through you, as you said, and just trusting that process. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Thank you. Yeah. We'll see what the next chapter brings, I guess.
Yes, to be continued.
It's
Yes.
to be continued. There's enough going on in the world, I think.
Yeah, it's not over yet.
I do look at the last album as a chapter one of what will probably be, I think of like a trilogy, because I think what we have is the beginning there. And now we are in the battle, I feel like. And the other side of it is that victory that I hold on to. And hopefully there'll be an album of victory songs at the end of all this that we can celebrate with.
Yeah, that would be really great. And you said that that became an anthem at the Truckers Convoy.
Yeah, that was the greatest thing about watching those videos, is getting videos of people actually playing my songs there. Somebody was the first person there the night before the protest began. It was dark. They were parked outside the parliament, and they were playing my song Silent War, and it was echoing across the street.
Some of you eat all the lies you've been fed. Some of you just go along. Training acceptance inside of your head to give them whatever they want. Leaving your brothers and sisters behind. Told it's the best thing to do. Shutting out friends, 'cause you're told that's what's right. Now they win because all of us lose. And it's so sad watching these times as they. They lock us in doors in a prison of this silent war.
That was really meaningful to me. And then once things became pretty lively out there, getting videos of people dancing to I Will Not Be Leaving Quietly, that was exactly what I wanted out of that song. I wanted a song that people could just take with them to these rallies and bang on a trash can or something. And have a good time, have a good time while they're making their point. So it's very rewarding to see those things out there.
Well, that's great. It's not your first album, but it's certainly a peak, I would say.
I would agree. Great. Well, I really appreciate you reaching out. And I would like to be able to have the time to write an article myself. I don't know how I would go about it and with other things going on, but I thought this would be a better, even though I ramble sometimes, I thought this would be a little better approach to it. So now I appreciate you thinking of me for the story.
Awesome. Well, that's great. Well, I hope you'll enjoy what I send for the podcast. Yeah, you, oh yeah, you have these acoustic ones. Those are more recent that you've done out in nature.
Oh yeah, I can send you those if you like. I was at an event in California, and I went for a hike one morning and just set up the camera and did those. So,
5timesaugust.com. Really great to
yeah.
meet you, Brad. And
Awesome. Thank you so much, Lynn.
thank
Bye-bye.
you. Bye-bye.
Someone is trying to sell you the cure, the same one who made the disease. And they'll try to convince you and make you feel sure, but hey, there ain't no guarantees. They cover your mouth and they've tied back your hands. They did it to all of the kids. And nobody knows all the damage that's done. They won't ask until the master permits. And it's so watching these times as they change, and it's so bad. The battle's been violent and strange. We all shout behind the doors in a prison of this silent war. Yours. Do not let them win this side.